Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Such. So, I think we'll do comments. And one comment in particular. Probably will use up all of the commenting resources. Probably. So, hey, I discovered your channel recently and saw your videos in response to Veritasium and Electric Boom electricity videos. I liked the video a lot. Nah, that's what I used to think about electricity. My high school textbooks are just so bad at addressing the obvious questions, which will come to any keen reader. The more you think about it and look into it, there's conflicting, the models always sort of break down. So whether you think of the electrons as pressure or you think of them, as being pressurized with each other, and a surface being pressurized versus adding electric charge, that is adding electrons to the surface. And, you can go both ways as long as you stay away from certain experiments and certain facts. So, like, a model will work until you think about a certain experiment and say, well, that one doesn't fit. And, so I'd have to say I'm still, which one is happening? I'm tending towards the electrons really don't migrate. They just move and convey pressure to something else. So we'll go with that, and when we get to the point where I start drawing something. Anyway, I would appreciate if you would guide me in some of these questions as well. Well, I don't do this guiding thing. I just make arguments, So if you want to be guided by the argument, that's your prerogative. But I frankly, if I'm teaching, I'm not doing it on purpose. Let's put it that way. What is actually creating different potentials at different parts of the circuit? So again, I would argue that the potential is something that's caused by the environment. That just like the Earth doesn't stay compacted if you eliminate the process of gravity. So if gravity as a concept disappears, the argument would be is that the atoms would fly apart. Okay, of the Earth, that there wouldn't be anything pushing them into each other. And certainly at the high pressure points in the Earth, the deeper you go into the Earth, the higher the pressure gets. All of those atoms would want to be liberated. So that would be pressure. So pressure has to be created by the external environment, not, it can't be self-imposed. All right. In my high school textbooks, there is no talk about that, and they just assume steady state. They assume, functions, and they really don't explain why, how the function takes place. So, yeah, you're given the idea that charge is conveyed, but you're not, conveyed in what way. So, I mean, you could do the simple example of, like, you have something charged, and you bring something in proximity to it, and it charges. But as soon as you take it away, it uncharges. So clearly the pressure is something the thing is creating, okay, and it's only temporary. But if I do it in a specific way, I create the pressure and then I cut the thing in half, I can make its charge permanent, in the sense that the pressure is now going to be, the thing is now going to have two different the two pieces are going to be individually now charged as if they had contacted the object and become charged. But the argument is you've just in a sense ionized them. You've ionized the atoms in one positive and ionized the atoms in the other negative. But anyway. Now what is... Alright, now what I know from your video is the electron density is different at different parts. Okay. Density would just mean that it's more compact. Let's say the electrons are closer to each other, so the atoms are shrunken a little. could argue. And that's what's causing the potential pressure. But I don't understand one thing in this. To establish this electron density, electrons would have to physically move from one plate to the other, and that would take much longer time. It's also sort of, I would argue, for other reasons, electrons aren't very good at going anywhere because of the fact that they do experience drag. So if you push them into the force, the ether, they'll be contacting more stuff coming towards them than pushing them, and therefore that imbalance will take away their, it's a friction, it'll consume their energy. So yeah, they're not likely to be moving at the speed of light if they're incurring a drag. But we know that steady state gets established at the speed of light. Yeah, so what's going on? Okay. I guess maybe I'll read first and then talk later, because we don't know which. These might be connected to the same subject. So, two, how always the charge on one plate of a capacitor has to be equal and opposite to the other plate, no matter what the configuration of circuit is. Yeah, so that's not being created by the environment. So you could say that if I could put something with charge on it in atmosphere, and the charge will dissipate because it'll lose its charge to other atoms hitting it and decreasing its pressure. Yeah. But the fact is, if I have two things that are charged next to each other, they're not being affected by atoms transferring the charge. They're being affected by, like magnetism, by the fact that the radiation is in fact different. So they're radiating the charge in the form of force, and they're exposing another surface to it, and the other surface is essentially changing. So that reaction is happening because of the transfer of force, not the transfer of objects that are ions. So I guess the point would be is that ions are doing all the transferring in the sense of carrying extra or less electrons. And so you need a physical atomic ion to hit a surface to take away electrons or add electrons. And in all the other cases, it's just exposure to the actual radiation of the sun, you could say, you know, like the light. So the light in one case, you know, when things are really close, is what's causing the effect. And in other cases, you have to carry the light bulbs to the other object. I don't know. Got to find a better metaphor. All right, high school textbooks say the battery always maintains the potential difference across the circuit, and the reason they give is chemical reactions, oxidation, reduction. The fact is you're making ions, so it's pretty well established that the electricity going across your heart is traveling across a field of ions. The surface of your heart gets ionized, positive, then negative, you know, as each jolt of electricity goes through it, it's just changing the ions from positive ions to negative ions. But it seems like a miracle, because suppose if we connect just one plate of a capacitor to only positive end of battery, we know there should be some positive charge on the wire and on the plate to cancel the electric field of the battery. So I don't think there is an electric field, so I would argue you don't have to cancel anything. So the end of the battery should suck up some electrons from the wire and the plate. Well, it does, I guess, would be my argument. As soon as you connect it to the positive charge, it becomes essentially the same charge. And again, it can be affected by atmosphere. So if there's no atmosphere and no proximate, oppositely charged object, then nothing will happen. It will just become as pressurized as the battery, theoretically. So let's say you take a, like say if you had a 5 million ton hunk of steel, and then you stuck the positive end of a battery to the steel, I think that would drain the battery. That would be, you know, an argument I could make. Or it would reduce the voltage of the battery, because, yeah, it's got to charge an awful lot of material. So wouldn't is charge battery voltage, battery's voltage. So wouldn't the... Yeah, I don't know what that is. According to me, it can only maintain the voltage after steady state has established. Before that, the current towards both ends would be different. So how can it maintain the potential difference? So it doesn't... The current is a symptom, not a law or a rule or some sort of, like, there has to be current. I guess I would argue. And... Yeah, so I think you can lower the voltage potential by creating big anodes or cathodes. You know, if you make the anode or the cathode really big, you know, really dense, that you're going to reduce the voltage that it's being supplied by. All right, so he also, it's the same comment on a different video, pretty much the same comment. All right, so leave us attempt to deal with this in some way or other. Yeah, so this should work. All right, so far so good. So how do I want to, I'll think about how I want to start this. Alright, so, I've done this ahead of time, but anyway, it doesn't really matter much. So let's just start with the atom, and, so you have the nucleus. I knew this was going to be a shitty one. I just knew it. God damn it. Alright, I'm back. Alright, so atom. So it's positively charged because it had, you know, in the nucleus, and then you have the electrons on the outside. And the argument would be is these electrons can be at different positions relative to the positive charge. And so it would be, you know, a different kind of voltage. So an electron could have a voltage based on how far away the electron is. So the electron's far away, then there's more of this. Okay, you could sort of understand that this is more visible, this positive charge. The further away the electrons are from each other, the more the positive can be seen, okay, from different directions. Now, some directions is going to look more negative, some directions is going to look more positive, depending on which way you're looking. So if you're looking from this direction, it looks like a negative atom. If you're looking from this direction, it looks like a positive atom. So how it looks, okay, what it's radiating. So you could argue that here it's radiating all this, and from here, from this little area, it's radiating a lot of this. So it looks negative here and it looks positive here. All right, so the point is as the pressure increases, the electrons are pushed, okay? So you're saying when they're closer together, there's more energy between them. Okay, I mean, it's more dense, and so they have more potential, okay, to move at a higher speed. And so when it's pressurized, that means it's going to look more negative. When it's unpressurized, it's going to look more positive. And so that sort of fits, okay, with the plus and minus thing in the sense of the pressure thing. So it's just about how pushed in the electrons are. And you can sort of understand if there's an atom, okay, that has a bunch of electrons and protons, you know, configured. So this is a solid object. Wow, that contrast is terrible. I should never increase the contrast, that's for sure. All right, damn. All right, sorry, little defects here. All right, try again. Okay, so I was saying, alright, so you can't really see that, but okay, so you have layers of atoms. You could understand that if you were to push the electrons that were sticking on the outside, they really can't do anything in terms of
they can't make electrons go to the other side, you know, automatically. You know, it just kind of depends on what the material is, whether that, you know, it's an insulator or not an insulator. It can only pressurize the surface atoms, you know. There's no place for the charge to go, the pressure. So if you did have pressure pushing surface electrons closer to the nucleus of the atoms, there's nowhere for that pressure to go but into the surface, you know, into the substance, you know, unless it's an insulator. But anyway, all right, so, yeah, this is already getting messy. All right, so the idea is that you have more than one atom in a substance, and this one isn't any better, really. So, shit, it's always the reds, it's a problem. Anyway, and they're sharing an electron, okay, and so the idea would be that all these atoms are connected to each other, so whatever pressure I put on this electron, okay, it does move into this electron, and that pushes on this electron out that way, you know, and then this one pushes on that one, and the pressure rises, and so you're just moving the pressure. So electricity is just moving the pressure between one atom and another atom, and that can sort of be understood as, you know, the pressure is just the size of the atom, so you can sort of understand that when they're connected to each other, they're going to share their pressure, so they're all going to seek to be the same size, the same pressure. And so that's all that's happening in the conductor. So the conductor starts off with everything the same size, and then something shows up that's, say, smaller because it's positive. And you connect that to this atom, and it shares it, and then so this atom becomes half that size, and it's still, but it's still connected to one that's twice as big. So it's going to share here, okay, and that new, so it's going to share that, and so this atom will be a little smaller, this one will be a little bit bigger, you know, and then this one's big, and so it's going to share that pressure, and they're all just going to share the pressure down the line, and that's the electricity. So if you don't have something on this side that's making the atoms bigger, they'll all just become one size. All right, I think that's the easiest way to understand it. It helps me understand it anyway. If you just think of about pressure or voltage as just being how big or how small the atom is. And every time you make it bigger or smaller, you're changing its polarity to some extent. What part of the universe is seeing red and what part is seeing purple is going to change as that profile of where the electron is. As it moves from this position to this position, it's going to change what you see coming out of the atom, whether it's going to be hitting you with red light or blue light, you could argue. All right, I think I need to erase that. All right, so let's talk about ions a little bit. So the idea is, now we'll do the nucleus in purple. All right, and you're just really going to say, okay, there's a circumstance where there's three electrons, okay, around an atom. And the difference would be from a positive ion to a negative ion would be this number of electrons. And that if I add another electron and change the configuration of the atom, that there's a different amount of pressure between the electrons. So the pressure attracting the electrons to the proton is going to stay the same. And what's going to happen, though, is the distance between the electrons, okay, is going to be reduced. And therefore, you would say this one has the higher potential, the higher voltage, the higher pressure between the electrons. So this would be your, I guess, your negative ion would actually be a positive ion. So the positive and negative thing is all backwards in terms of Benjamin Franklin guessed wrong. So we'll try to evade worrying about whether or not it's an extra electron or an absence of an electron. Just understanding the difference between a positive ion and a negative ion is the distance between the electrons, and that's the pressure that the electrons are possessing, okay, by being in one configuration versus another configuration. So this would be a low pressure, okay, atom, and this would be a high pressure. Oh, I got it backwards. This is the high pressure, and this would be the low pressure. So the shorter the distance between the electrons, the higher the pressure. So you could say the higher the voltage, the positive voltage. And the more distance between the electrons, the lower the pressure, the lower the voltage. And so these ions are what really, you know, takes electrons away or, you know, introduces electrons. So as they bang into a surface, it's the ability, the freedom to take an electron away or the ability to not. So it just depends on the atoms that are in the environment. So you could argue that the atoms in our current atmosphere are grounded substantially. So they're kind of atoms at the same pressure as ground. So they'll take charge easily from something that has it when they encounter it. So if they encounter these atoms with this 4, they'll easily take one away. All right, and, you know, take the pressure away with the electron. So you can physically add and subtract electrons by using ions. So I would argue that any time there's two circumstances where you're actually physically changing something by adding electrons, you need ions to do the transferring. You need atoms to move back and forth between the objects to do the transfer. And so this sort of goes to, you know, the whole electron gun idea, where you're really just taking something and heating it, you know, applying, you know, electricity to start breaking the atoms into pieces. And what you're really doing is creating a stream of ions that go across the electrical potential you create. So they create an electrical potential. Doesn't really matter, positive, negative. And what you're really moving is ions. You're breaking the surface, the atoms are breaking off, and they're breaking off in the form of either too many electrons on their atoms or too few. You could argue that it's either one. This is too few, this is too many. There's no in between. So that's all you're doing. You're just migrating ions. You're not migrating just electrons. So this goes to an awful lot of experiments, even how accelerators work and all of that, whether they're really moving just electrons or just protons, or whether they're really moving, you know, atoms. All right. What's this say? So if I have two charged plates, okay, if I'm doing this thing, okay, that one's this. This one's this. Okay, why they go positive and negative is because of what they see. You know, again, it's, you have to think of the atom as having a profile, and it's just really what you're seeing here, okay, and what you're seeing here. So they're not like dipoles. All magnetism isn't in the form of just dipoles. There can be, you know, they can be tripoles. That is, they're polar, they're north, south, you know, north, south, north, south, north, south, okay, in more than one direction. And, you know, so they're just turning it one way to turn what we think of as a 180-degree turn in a magnet. For an atom, it's just one quarter turn. Could be changing its polarity from a perspective. So from this point of view, you can just change it from north to south by just doing that little eighth of a turn. All right, so how does that? So anyway, so the what's happened between two charged plates is that the plates are actually shooting force at each other. They're not shooting ions at each other, and they're pushing on either on the surface atoms. And by changing the surface atoms, just change all the atoms. So they're smashing the electrons closer together when they're pushing the electron force at a surface, and they're pulling the electrons out, giving them more, you know, reducing the pressure. So as I pull this electron further out, you can understand if it's connected to all these other electrons in a surface, that by pulling that one out, I'm reducing the pressure between all the other electrons, and so I'm reducing its voltage. And the opposite effect happens. If I push in on one electron, I'm pushing on all the other electrons and increasing the pressure for all of the other electrons. So this is just the energy, the force is causing the effect, because that's why it's on the surface, and that's charge, and the difference between that and electricity is well, first the fact that the conductor can conducts it this way through the conductor, you know, where the atoms are from positive to negative. You're just changing where the polar difference is, and this is, becomes the positive end and the negative end, so you're changing just the polarity of the wire. But it's the same process, and then it's only when you're losing charge or gaining charge by transfer, the transfer is always through atoms. So you need atoms to do the transferring. So lightning needs atoms in the atmosphere. A spark needs atoms to transfer. And those atoms are just really ions. All right. Yeah, I mean, I could do better, but that'll have to do for now. Alright, so do a little bit on conductors and the how electricity causes magnetism, causes a change in the field, blah blah blah. And yeah, well, the conventional idea of what's causing it is more complex, as to with aligning spins and all this stuff. And really what it's just about is, you know, again, turning, changing the shape of an atom. So you can sort of understand that if I add pressure this way, okay, against electrons, that the electrons are going to spread this way, okay? You know, so it's always this inverse. And so you could basically say that the atoms themselves, when I'm going this way, pushing the pressure on this side, I'm making atoms go this way. And when I'm pushing the pressure in as electricity, I'm pushing the atoms so their shape is changing this way. And, you know, so I think that metaphor, analogy, whatever works, in just understanding that obviously the electrons are now polarizing, in the sense that there's going to be a tendency for all the electrons to go in a direction in the two circumstances, and therefore magnifying their profile, how they're going to look. So if they're, if the bunch of the atoms are expanding, then it's going to be likely the expansion is created by the pressure pushing an electron in a direction. So the electron could have been here and it's going to be pushed to here, or the electron could have been here and it's going to be pushed to here. So it's going to tend to push them, okay, in the same direction, because it's adding pressure this way, it's going to push them wherever they are. They're going to tend to line up again with the equalizing pressure, and so they're going to tend to create what looks like a more consistent geometry. So where before they were connecting to each other, you sort of understand that if you have two atoms and they're connected to each other by sharing an electron, that they're going to share it in a position, okay, where they're not going to be lined up, in the sense that this electron is going to seek the proton and this one's going to seek the proton. And depending on how, you know, the chemistry is a little more complicated than just this four geometry. So, you know, the atoms are, they'll tend to be, here's an electron. The place where they're going to share the electron is obviously going to be here. Okay, so they're not going to, their profiles aren't going to line up, and it's only in certain materials, you know, nickel, iron, cobalt, whatever it is, that are magnetizable, in the sense that the geometry of the atom dictates that this will always be the same relationship, that, you know, that they won't share with the interior electrons, will be pointed in the same direction, you know. So the problem with things that aren't magnetic is that the atoms are connected to each other with the interior electrons pointed in all kinds of different directions. So you have, you know, you have an atom and you have electrons here, you have electrons here, and you have electrons here. You have them in these different arrangements. And the magnetic stuff ends up having these electrons essentially line up, so that if you turn it in the right direction, they'll all point in the same direction. All the electrons will be going the same way. And so that's why they are easily converted into being perpetually magnetic, is because their polarization is magnified, all of them end up pointing in exactly the same direction, because all their interior electrons are pointing in the same direction. Where in other materials, there's too much chaos in terms of how they connect to each other, and the interior electrons can be in all kinds of different orientations, and they'll still connect to each other. All right. So you can do that perfect either. But it's a little bit complicated. That's why I'm not teaching. It's because you have to do lesson plans and organize that. You get paid money to do that and all that kind of crap, which I'm not. Let's see, anything else to add to that? So again, whether something looks magnetic, it just really has to do with the fact that there's an arrangement of the electrons, and really what you're doing is you're changing the profile of the atom in terms of how it's excreting force. Whether it's excreting force that's positive or negative force, and the direction of that force. And that sort of decides whether something's magnetic or not. And so obviously when you're moving electricity through, say, copper, you're constantly changing the shape of these atoms, which is constantly changing the magnetic profile of the atoms. And that's why it becomes magnetic while you have electricity going through it, is because you tend to push the atoms into the same shape in the material. All right. That might be enough of that. All right, I guess we'll call this a video. All right, so the basic idea is it's just about the pressure between the electrons, and that you can increase the pressure by creating more force from the outside. But usually you can only do that if there's a material that has a bunch of atoms and you expose one side to more pressure, which pressurizes all the other atoms equally, and causes an effect on the opposite side, which would be to create the opposite charge. It would transfer the charge from, say you have two plates. I mean, this side is excreting electron pressure, more electron force than proton force is getting to this surface. It pushes on this surface and exactly creates the same circumstance on the exterior surface, which is too many electrons. So you have too many here, too many on the surface, and you end up with too many on the surface over here. And this one has to have too few on the surface. You can just sort of understand that. It's just duplicating it in the same, And then the other transfer isn't because you're exposing it to more external pressure. It's because the thing itself has pressure going through it. You're pushing electrons into it just by having more atom. An atom getting closer to another atom means that the electrons are being pressurized. So if the atoms aren't really moving and the electrons aren't really going anywhere, you're just changing, you're making them just move a little bit, and that little bit of movement is transferred through all the other atoms through the force between the electrons that's making them repel. And you're constricting that force, which means like a ping pong ball bouncing back and forth, it bounces back, it hits surfaces more often, therefore it pushes every single other electron. So all the electrons are connected to each other through a bunch of ping pong balls they're throwing at each other. So you can sort of understand why they would tend to equalize the pressure between all the electrons. All right. And that's the voltage of the atom, or substance, or thing, something like that. Anyway, till the next time and such. It's just one of those days already. Yeah.